Yes, y'all have.
Taking a ride on the Freedom Train, your community resource podcast series. I'm your host, Joseph Ward, and as always, ride with me is my homies, Patrick Irvin and Jamie Bushon. Remember, the Freedom Train is sponsored by PAX Inc. That's PACTSINC. And PAX Inc. is a black advocacy organization aimed at developing the black community to its maximum potential through a focus on economics and education with a trace of hard work, honesty, and integrity. And for more information, make sure you visit www.pactsinc.org. Once again, that's www.pactsinc.org. And while you're on the website, make sure you click on the codes tab so you can learn more about the 12 codes of conduct that PAX Inc. is looking to institute within the black community that can help us to work more as a cohesive unit and become more of a true community. Also, while you're online, make sure you visit our Freedom Train website at www.freedomtrainradio.com. That way you can learn more about me and Pat and not Jamie. But now I'm just playing. You can learn more about all of us on the Freedom Train and hear the playbacks of your favorite shows and all those things there. Follow us on Twitter at Freedom Train Net. Follow us on Instagram at Freedom Train Network. Like our Freedom Train Network Facebook page and subscribe to the Freedom Train Network on through either Google Play Store or iTunes. That way you get episodes coming straight to your phone. Gentlemen.
Man, first off, they don't need to know shit about me. They don't even know nothing about me, Joe. Don't be trying to throw me under the bus. They don't need nothing about me. I'm Jay. All right, stop getting my whole government name out, dog. Like, God damn, Joe Snitch on the low. Joe working for them people, man.
Right.
Feel me?
Hey, man, right. Hey, man, you would, they would have been found you. They know exactly where you were. They been knew that before you linked up with us. You brought more heat to us.
Joe be like, Jay, man, I ain't going to tell nobody you robbing banks on live on the podcast, man. We'll talk about that off air. Look at this guy.
I ain't going to talk about that. I ain't going to talk about the heroin that you shipping from Louisiana. I ain't going to tell nobody else that.
Right.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Keep it anonymous. What's up, Pat, man? You was MIA last week. How you doing, man?
Yeah, man, you know, I'm straight. You know, I got surprised by the people. You know, I hate surprises, but it happens.
I hate surprises too, man. I agree with that. I would rather know what day I'm dying so I could, like, you know, have like a little drink before it happens and all that good stuff. Yeah.
I mean, like, you could surprise me with like a sexual favor. That's a good surprise. But other than that, I'm feeling surprises.
Hey, man, y'all got to be courageous in life. Be courageous. Step out on the ledge. And allow life to give you its fruits.
Oh, are you trying to persuade me into getting raped or something?
Yeah, I know, right? Sound like he was propositioning you for sex right there.
Only you two nasty mofos think of that stuff, okay? Y'all, man, always in the gutter, man.
You don't want to talk about step out and allow life to give you its fruits.
Yeah. What kind of fruits are you talking about, Joe?
We just got through talking about fruits being sexual organs for plants, and now you want to try to throw me up under the bus.
Well,
okay.
That's exactly why I thought that, because we just finished talking about fruits being sexual organs. Now you're talking about allow life to give you its fruits.
Oh, allow people to give you their sexual organs. I see what you're saying now, Joe. There you go.
Sound like you're trying to persuade us into getting raped.
Joe be having bars on the low. You see that? That was a bar. We didn't even know about it. Joe got lines.
Hey, man. Hey, I get publishing.
Joe be getting gross writing.
Hey, man. It's Sunday. It's usually the day that food, soul food is. Huh?
soul food usually be cooked on those Sundays, right? So I want our conversation today to center around the soul food that we eat, the food, you know, all the foods that we consume, like even from different cultures, but the foods that we consume, the food that nurture our soul, what we consider soul food, is it truly nurturing our soul? Was it ever truly healthy for us? And if it's not helping us, why do we hold on to it? Why do we still eat it? Jamie, why you eat hog maws?
Man, I like maws, hog maws in my mouth. That's why. That's it. I think a lot of things when it comes to like eating soul food and the way black people eat, I think a lot of it is just out of tradition. That's what we're used to. That's always what we've done. You know, Sunday you got your fried chicken, mac and cheese, this, that, and the other. And I can't knock soul food. I think, you know, Sunday dinner is, you know, good, but we gotta exercise a little bit of restraint in our, you know, our daily diet to where it doesn't become a issue. But, you know, I'm not against soul food. I mean, eat what the hell you want, but we gotta make sure we got balance, and I think that's the one thing that lacks in a lot of African American diets is that balance.
Yeah, well, when you say balance, like go into more, can you go into more detail as far as the balance you were saying that we need to have in our diets?
So, for example, I'll get my fuck shit off, you know, when it comes to eating, you know what I'm saying? I'll, you know, Sunday, like yesterday, we had some catfish, I baked the fries, because I don't like too much fried food, had a little shrimp and stuff like that, but I'm also, you know, cognizant that, hey, I can't eat like this back to back to back. I got to make sure I exercise. I don't eat that much fried food to begin with. So I do it every now and again, but I make sure I do it in moderation. It's not something that's a constant part of my diet. I have my mac and cheese on Sundays and stuff like that, but I'm not eating like that on a regular basis. But I'm also, you know, in between those meals that I'm trying to get my fuck shit off, I'm making sure I'm eating right things, I'm eating healthy, and more importantly, I'm making sure I exercise. So that's when I talk about the balance. Because every now and again, you're going to have some stuff that you just indulge in. I know every time I come back home, I got to get like a Hungry Howie's pizza or something. That's cool, but I'm also in the gym making sure I stay healthy, my cardio is good and everything like that. So if you don't have that balance, then you just clogging up them arteries.
So what you're saying is you don't eat vegetables.
No, I love vegetables. I eat a lot of vegetables. It's just certain days, I don't want to see them jokers, man.
Look, see how I pulled that out of there?
Jamie
eat fried vegetables, okay? He fried his greens.
That's true.
Hey, but you want to know one of the things that I learned, though, about cooking greens is one of the things that we do, the main way that most black people cook their greens is they put them in that pot and they boil them down and they stew them down. And that process actually strips the nutrients from the greens. So the water is actually, the green juice is actually more nutritious than the actual greens itself, because the greens are just containing mostly just the water and the fibers and stuff, and that help you boo-boo, but the nutrients and things that help you make you stronger, those are mostly in the water than the greens. So I know one of the things I started doing was more so sauteing my greens rather than stewing them down. So, yes, they still have that crunch and they still have that life in them and they still have the nutrients in them rather than you eating the greens and not necessarily benefiting from them, but a good boo-boo, but you're not getting the good nutrients in your body.
Yeah. Hey, Joe the dude at the cookout drinking the green juice in a cup and shit. That's what he is.
Hey.
Putting a little vodka in it.
That pot liquor, but you know about that. See, Jamie, you country, you know about that pot liquor.
Hey, they put a little green juice in there to keep me hydrated. Look at this dude.
Hey, that boy, that thing that put that hair on your chest, boy.
Oh, man.
But I mean, like, I like fried chicken, like fried chicken and fried fish and fried shrimp. Those are three that I really like.
Facts.
Like, and understanding that an abundance of fried food, period, not necessarily good for us. And even an abundance of fried food is definitely not good for us. But it's just, you know, overall, us as black people, And even like Jamie, you in Texas, they fry, they double and triple fry stuff out there. Like they fry Oreos and stuff.
Nah,
like
they got fried Twinkies. Fried Twinkies, man. I saw that other day. Yeah.
But it's like a lot of the things that we eat are high in fat, high in cholesterol, high in sodium, all these things here that are detrimental to us because heart disease, diabetes, cholesterol, all those things plague the black community, and we know obesity is something that's plaguing the black community as well. So we have to be more cognizant of the way we eat. You can eat healthy and still eat good, and that's something I want people to realize, is that cooking healthy doesn't mean that your food got to be nasty. If you know how to cook, you know how to cook.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know how to cook, I feel sorry for you. Your food might be nasty. Your health food might be nasty, but you can eat healthy and still your food still be busting. You ain't got to be like just straight boiled chicken with pinch of salt. Like, you can have some flavor on your food and stuff like that. Just don't you are paying attention to what you put into your food so it can be more healthy, and then you incorporating like exercise and stuff in there too.
Yeah, that's true. I think the one part of the diet, a lot of people. Because I've seen, just to throw you the other side of the spectrum, I've seen, you know, people claim to be vegans, and they look terrible, like, just...
There's a lot of overweight vegans.
Yeah, I was like, how are you vegan? Because they don't, you know, they have really no exercise, and they just think, all right, I'm going to just eat all these vegetables 1,800 times a day with a bunch of dressing on it, and I'm going to be straight, and they're still, you know, out of shape, not healthy individuals, so... It goes back to just having that balanced diet and having a good exercise routine to make sure all your little veins and nonsense all not clogged up with, you know, cholesterol and all that kind of nonsense.
But you wanna study your genetic makeup, your physiology, your body, your anatomy and things like that, and make sure that you are preparing a diet that's best for you and not just going off some kind of cultural diet that everybody says eat, because even when you try to go on these specific diets to lose weight, a lot of things that people are putting in their bodies or doing to their bodies are not the best things for them. Like somebody, if you have somebody Serena Williams size body who trying to be slim and trim, that's not going to happen. So you got to understand what you're putting into your body and what you're doing to your body. But the main thing, I know you know, everybody want abs. But everybody don't want to eat right to get the abs. But I just know in our black communities, the way we're conditioned and taught in the traditions that pass down with our foods, most of us eat unhealthy on a regular basis.
That's true. That's true.
Where you at?
Pat probably over there eating a piece of chicken now. That's what he's doing.
I mean, for me, you know, like, I got a different approach. So, like, for me, dieting is, you know, like, if you really want to be able to watch what you eat and make sure you're eating good things, one, you need to understand chemistry so you can understand what is happening to your food when you cook it. Because I don't necessarily think that fried foods are bad. It just depends on how you fry them. You know, typically fried foods have been considered unhealthy because when you fry foods, there's a lot of saturated content in oil, and that gets absorbed into the food. So if you find a healthy oil or a healthy substance to lightly fry the food in, you can still maintain all of the nutrients. It's the same with, like you were saying, with the vegetables. You know what I'm saying? If you understand transference and the various different things that happen when you apply heat to something, then you know, you understand that if I boil my vegetables and I really want the nutrients, I need to drink the juice. You know, so even in terms of the vegans eating all of those other things, and you know, like, I see people eating salad all the time and not understanding that dressing is not really healthy for you. You kind of undo the benefits of the salad when you cover it with dressing. So, you know, you got these fat vegans out here because they don't understand that simple concept. You know, just like you got the bone-thin vegans out here who are unhealthy on the other spectrum because they don't understand the concept of protein. You know, or the concept of basic sugar or other things like that that your body needs to survive. So I just think, if, you know, even in terms of soul food, I think we put too much stock in the soul portion of that word. From my understanding, soul food got its name because for a minute, everything having to do with black people was declared soulful. Soulful singing, soulful music, soulful dancing, soul food. You know what I'm saying? So it just became popular not because the food fed your soul, but because that became the popular term for black culture. I just think, you know, in terms of diet, I don't know. I'm going to let us move forward. I think I'm going too far. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
But those are important points. But think about what you're saying. Like, we made some good points. But remember, the information needs to get out, because if my family's tradition is to fry stuff in lard, and it's still 2017, we still frying stuff in lard, we need to get a new programming. Right, you know, and there are a lot of people who still are going off of the old traditions. Now, a lot of people are making changes. There are a lot of people making changes, but still a lot of things that have to be changed. A way that you make a lot of your favorite foods, especially if you are gaining an excess of weight and you noticing all these changes in your body that are not good for your body, but it tastes good. Your food has to be more to you than just tasting good. It has to be actually something that's, like, actually good to you and helping your body get stronger rather than breaking your body. And your food should be your medicine, you know.
But that what you just said, though, is the biggest part of it. If it doesn't taste good or is it not appealing to the stomach, a lot of people won't even mess with it, like, nah, this is nasty. It's not the fact that it's nasty. It's just if you're eating, like, raw vegetables and stuff like that, sometimes, you know, it might not be as tasty as putting, you know, some cheese on your broccoli, this, that, and other, but is it beneficial for you? The answer is yes. So a lot of times you just got to open up your mind and, again, you could spice it up, throw some sea salt on it, you know, be creative with it, but be open to eating food, you know, differently. But going back to tradition, I think, me personally, you know, I try to get my moms to eat more healthier, stuff like that. And the hardest thing is, man, she's stubborn as hell. Because, you know, that's like, you know, she doesn't, you know, didn't come up like I did. You know, I had a different background growing up, you know, working out, this, this, that, and the other. So I'm trying to tell her, like, hey, you know, put, you know, instead of frying it, why don't you just bake it? You know what I'm saying? You know, cut some fat that way, this, that, and the other. But they so stuck. Well, my mom's like, she's so stuck in her ways. And as our parents get older, now they try to pay a little bit more attention to their health, because all those years of bad eating and soul food and all that shit, it might not catch up with you in your 20s, your 30s, but eventually, you know, all that terrible eating does catch up with you.
Well, you know, I think one of the biggest problems in the community isn't even necessarily what we eat. I think it's how much of it that we eat. Like, portion control is something that is, like, a foreign concept to many people in the community. And you see them with these plates, they got enough meat on there where, you know, like, that is your literally weekly consumption ratio of meat, and you eating two servings of it in one sitting. You just ate enough meat to feed five people, you know, and that's encouraged by, you know, all of the other things we got out there. You got people eating 32 ounces of steak a day. Like, that's ridiculous, really. But, you know, I think, like I said, I think a lot of that goes into understanding your body, because I'm not so sure. There's a lot that goes into diet. Even in terms of, there was a study released recently that found that just by having people think about some of the nastiest foods they ever had, like they blindfolded them and they gave them foods that they said they hated, but they told them it was something else, and they filled the room with the smell of something that they enjoyed, like a nice steak when they was giving you a nasty Brussels sprout or something. And they found that that had a dramatic effect on the way people tasted the food, even in terms of just telling them that the food was something else and getting their brains to think about it in a different way. Had a dramatic effect on the way people tasted their food. So concept like taste, hunger, all those things are things that we're still, you know, gaining a firm understanding of. And I think until we gain that level of understanding, we're going to have difficulty getting people to change their diet, because I'm not going to eat nothing that I think is nasty. I don't care how healthy you say it is.
Yeah, definitely. But, see, that's the good thing about nature. Nature gives us such an abundance of foods that you can eat things that are good to you and taste good. But you don't, and you don't have to try to kill yourself to eat nasty foods. Cause hell, I ain't gonna eat nothing nasty either. Like, I know I went vegetarian for a while, and my thing is on that is I'm either gonna eat meat or I'm not, and I ain't about to eat that little fake meat stuff. You can keep your tofu and your soy and your tempeh and all the other nasty bullshit that they. You can keep that. I'm not gonna eat it. I don't like the taste. I don't like the textures or nothing like that. So I'm gonna either eat meat. Or I'm not angry, you know, in between things like that. But even in learning that, going through that process, I learned that I revamped the way that I enjoy some of my favorite things. I still eat my black-eyed peas. I still eat my lima beans. I still eat my greens. I still eat mashed potatoes. I still eat a lot of things. I never ate macaroni and cheese. Well, I haven't eaten that since I was 5, so that's been out of my diet. But a lot of things that I would eat, just revamp the way I prepared them, and they still be busting.
And here's the thing: I'm a meat eater. Yeah, I am. I'll enjoy a ribeye every now and again. Now I'm not going crazy.
Right.
I'm sorry. It's how you prepare it. Like if I ate fried chicken all the time, yeah. But if I get a nice little lean cut of meat and I throw it on the grill and I eat it up, there's nothing wrong with that. I get a nice little portion of protein. Red meat altogether is not completely bad for you. Anything's bad for you in excess, though. So that's why I hate, like, I don't know, man, vegan people be out there hounding people, oh, don't eat meat, animals are nice. Yeah, they cool and they tasty, too. So I'm going to eat a little bit of them. So what? Fuck you. But it's all in how we prepare them and how much we consume of those things.
Well, I mean, like some of the stuff that they're saying, people have to take heed to, you know, like the overly stuffed, genetically modified, steroided chicken and all those things.
Oh yeah.
And the way some of these animals die and all those things too. You do have to take precaution and be more selective of what you get. I'm not telling nobody not to eat meat, because I'm not a person who believes that we have to be vegetarian or we should be vegetarian. That was our purpose to put on this earth. I'm not one of those people who believe that. But my thing is, whatever path you take, you should make sure that you are putting the best of the best in your body. And but also, you do need, as a meat eater, I have to understand that I'm not going to just eat meat and buy meat just because it's on sale or just because it's in my face. Because I have to make, just like my vegetables, I want to make sure it's the best of the best. And if it's not, I ain't putting it in my body. Like some of these hood stores, man, and all these hood stores, not necessarily owned by black people, but some of these stores in the hood or around these black communities who sell meat, they don't have the best quality meat. I ain't eating that.
Yeah, I agree with that. Some people, that meat has special on it, you know what I'm saying? They'll go buy a whole bunch of it. And here's the thing with that meat, unless it's frozen, it's probably already bad. So you should stay away from that. Now, if they freeze it and it's got special on it, then yeah, you know what I'm saying? They preserved it. But if it's not frozen and they got special on it, chances are it's already bad and you probably will get sick. Some type of parasite, who knows?
Well, especially if you ain't cooking it all the way.
Right.
But I mean, for me, I'm a meat eater. Like, I love meat. I'm not even going to lie. And
say pause after you say stuff like that, man.
I mean, no homo.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, and even in being a heavy meat eater, you know, like, I found myself getting up in weight because I started, you know, I couldn't work out for health reasons, and I was eating a lot of processed food. So I packed on about 60, 70 pounds real quick, and I've been losing it while eating a whole bunch of meat. You know, I done lost about 30 pounds so far, and I'm still eating a whole bunch of meat. So, you know, you can get whatever you want to get in terms of body shape, if you're willing to, for me, it's been portion control.
Yep.
You know, like Jamie said, you also got to be willing to work out a little bit. But I think in terms of those people that Like, in terms of us and our soul food especially, I just think it's a combination of too much food with very poorly prepared food with a very sedentary lifestyle. You know, I'm hesitant to put it all on the food, but I'm also not going to sit here and give people a pass for eating trash. You know what I'm saying? But you can, you know, the more active you are, obviously the more you can get away with in your diet. Now, that's not to say that somebody that work out can completely negate diet, because I just watched a documentary on a dude who spends 4 or 5 hours a day doing cardio and lifting weights, and he was still diabetic almost exclusively because of the junk he ate. He ate junk. So food is obviously important, but I think in terms of our community, you know, like, it's one small piece of the puzzle. It's too many things working together right now. Like, you know, these slave narratives of the we eat this food because the slaves ate it, and this, that, and the third. And that's another thing. A lot of the traditions we have become embedded in our culture. The activity itself has become embedded in the culture, but the story behind the activity is missing. So you really don't have anything to analyze the story with. So now you have people that are extremely defensive about a practice that their parents taught them, and because they don't and the problem for us is because they don't have a reference or a story to base that off of, we can't analyze it and decide if it's something that should be continued. So, you know, you think about a lot of these, and that goes back to the point I was trying to make before I got sidetracked with that, but a lot of these stories you hear about slaves eating junk and this, that, and the third, well, slaves were very active. They were forced to do hard labor for 12 hours a day. Their body could sustain and maintain because they were so active, even with the junk. It wasn't the best of foods, but it was enough. If you move forward eating that exact same junk in the larger quantities that we're eating them in now, because they didn't have access to the quantities of food that we do, but you're eating the same type of junk food in triple the quantity, and you're doing no activity. If you sit at a goddamn desk all day, your ass need to go for a walk. A couple hours every day, in my opinion. I forgot what I was going to say, but somewhere in there was a point.
But no, all of that goes together. Like, you can't, like you say, you can't sit there and just, you know, you want to eat and no exercise. Everything goes together. Everything goes together. So you have to eat, you have to exercise, you have to do all those things, stretch, drink your water. Don't be trying to drink. There's no substitute for water. There's no substitute. There's nothing else that you can drink that will be more beneficial to your body than natural water.
I ain't talking about smart water.
Well, because, I mean, like there's nothing mankind can add to water that ain't already in water that's for you.
Crown Royal. Yeah. Thank you.
What's up?
Yeah. Exactly. I'm just saying Crown Royal. I think that's I get you. I'm one of those people. I usually carry a jug with me throughout the day, just drinking. Well, I make sure I leave at the minimum get a half gallon into a day and stuff like that. But to your point, you said earlier, man, about the research. Research anything. You know what I'm saying? There's so much information out there as far as diets go. If you really are committed and you want to make a change in your diet, it's really not that expensive. A lot of people are like, oh, eating healthy is expensive. Not necessarily true. It's just you haven't done the research. You over here trying to make goddamn tofu burgers, and tofu is like $800 a damn pound. Maybe you don't have to make tofu burgers. Maybe there's another alternative. So do your research. Find those cheaper alternatives, and a lot of it is disappointing. Like me, unless it's absolutely necessary, I won't eat out Monday through Friday. Only time I really eat out is maybe Saturday or Sunday or possibly Friday night. But other than that, I stick to a strict routine, And that's not for everybody. I'm an asshole when it comes to my diet. Because I know on the weekends I want to indulge a little bit, but I know I got to be disciplined in other places, make sure I'm running, make sure I'm eating healthy. That way I can enjoy some mac and cheese or a nice ribeye. So discipline and research. Know what the hell you're putting in your body and stop listening to these Facebook videos and stuff like that. There's a lot of great nutritionists out there who, if you pay for their services, they're not just going to give information for free. Pay for their damn services. They will give you information about how to change your diet. All that stuff isn't going to be free. So if you're serious about it and you need nutrition, don't be afraid to pay them because those guys really know what they're talking about. And stop listening to these fucking Facebook videos.
Leave them goddamn body wraps alone. Leave them damn body wraps alone and get a real nutritionist. Think about it. Like let's think about this.
So
you mean to tell me that one of the best ways to get your body healthy is to wrap it in some substances that you really don't know what it is. They tell you, but you really don't know what it is. Wrap yourself up in the same saran wrap that's been in your kitchen for years. No exercise, no real changing your diet, no real drinking no water, no real changes. Just wrap your ass up and you're going to be healthy. You may lose some water weight and some little stuff, but your ass is not healthy. You got, but that's another thing. Like, we're looking for alternatives for like little shortcuts. Like, there's no shortcut in being unhealthy, and there's no shortcut to being healthy. You can't wrap fat up. You got to make a whole lifestyle change, and that's the thing that we're not doing. You can still eat good. You can eat healthy without spending all your money and your food being nasty and all those things here. You can eat meat, all these things, but you have to do it right. And the fact that people don't want to do it right on account of the way it tastes to me is so, the way my food tastes is more important than my damn life.
That's a fact.
That's where we are.
Well, even, you got to give people some slack because nowadays food is engineered to taste a particular way, like potato chips. Your body responds to the crunchiness. Most people tend to like crunchy food, and that's genetic. You know, crunchy foods historically have been foods that have been rich in vitamins and minerals and nutrients that your body needs. So your body has developed a biological desire for crunchy foods. Then there's this slight greasiness to them. And one of the things that we tend to skip over is the fact that fat content in nature is particularly rare. To get fat in food, you typically have to hunt another animal. And when you out there hunting something without a goddamn gun, when all you got is a spear and you got to run something down and stab it, your fail rate is astonishingly high. So your body developed a natural desire for fat. That's why you see so many people, the little fat ring around a steak or something, you'll see a lot of people sucking on that. Your body craves salt. So you know there are certain things, certain tastes that your body craves because it's rarely found in nature, and even when it is found, it's hard for you to get access to. And food nowadays is genetically engineered to activate all of those senses at once. So you have situations where people will pig out on Cheetos, which when you really look at Cheetos, that is a marvel of engineering. It's like the perfect, in terms of taste and texture and the way it makes your mouth feel, it is literally the perfect food. It's crunchy, slightly greasy, it dissolves in your mouth so that you can drink it with minimal chewing effort. It's literally the perfect food. That's why so many people love it in terms of taste and the way it activates your mouth and your brain. And that's something we got to understand is that the food is created to make you fat, to make you keep wanting to eat it. And like you guys said earlier, there is no shortcut to losing weight. You think about how difficult it really is to gain weight. Like, we don't think about it because it's something we enjoy. But is it really? It's particularly difficult to eat 4,000 calories in one day. That's not an easy feat to accomplish. 3,000 calories in a day, and then to do that day by day by day. You know, you got hamburgers with four patties, four pieces of cheese, eight strips of bacon. How did that? Like, that's a difficult burger to eat. But it's cool because it's exciting and it's tasty. You don't mind putting in that kind of work.
That's true.
You know, I think we got to, like, that has to be, you know, the taste component has to be put in perspective that food nowadays is designed for people to want to eat it. So we have to address that when we're talking about diet as well. Like, a lot of the times, you know, people just, they aren't being raised the correct way to be able to discipline themselves, like Jamie said, to not pig out. And when you've been raised, like somebody that's been raised on Cheetos, somebody that's ate Cheetos every day for the last 10 years of their life, you're not finna tell them to stop eating Cheetos. That's not going to happen.
And it's one thing. I get
everything you're saying. I get that. But at some point, you get to a point in life to where you actually have enough information to know better, and you understand that, I like these Cheetos, but I can't survive off of Cheetos. Like, I'm at a point to where I realize that. So that at that point, that's where information has to be abundant. That's where people who are out in the fields who want to make sure that people are healthy, that's when they should be available, and you have to be able to link people to these. But at some point, a person has to be able to analyze what's going on and make the changes within themselves, because we all come with a certain programming on everything, but then at some point, some things do have to change when you know that what you're doing isn't the healthiest thing for you.
No, I agree with that. And it's one dynamic to this, kind of going back to what Pat was talking about. When you mentioned, like, how should I say, I'm trying to be very sensitive with my words right now because I know how this could be a sensitive topic to a lot of people. You got that crowd, you know, that's kind of used to it, and they kind of just have that love me as I am deal. You know what I'm saying? Like, all right, I'm big or I'm out of weight. Yeah, I may be unhealthy, but I love me X, Y, and Z. We love you too, but we also want to see you live. So when somebody is critical and stuff like that, or, you know, it's not that we're trying to body shame or, oh, you too big, this, that. It's not about that. It's about seeing our people healthy and making sure we don't, you know, succumb to some of these health issues that can be prevented by changing our diet and being a little bit more active in our everyday lives. So to people who, you know, might hear this and, you know, be, you know, not as healthy as they want to be and stuff like that, we love who you are. You know, it's okay to love who you are, but it's even better to love a healthier version of you and make sure that you don't, you know, fall to some of this, you know, heart disease, all that kind of nonsense, diabetes, all that nonsense. Like, you can change a lot of that stuff just by changing your diet and your daily routines. Like I said earlier, the hardest thing is seeing, you know, I'm married, seeing our parents grow older and seeing them, you know, have health issues, and, you know, me being a son encouraging, hey, you know, maybe you should work out. Don't fry this. Maybe you should bake it. Yeah, I love you, but you need to lose some weight. You need to get a little bit healthier, this, that, and other. So it's going to come down to tough love, but have that discipline to say, you know what, yeah, I love myself, but what I'm doing to my body could potentially kill me. That makes sense? Is that not insensitive?
No, that's not insensitive, and it makes sense, and it's true. There are, and see, that's where we get into, like, I really started to dig into the dynamics of weight, especially when it really started to affect me. Because one of the things I realized was that, you know, like, I wasn't fat. You know, I was fat for me. But I think at the time I weighed about 230 pounds, and I'm 5'10", 5'9". So, you know, I had some size on me. But I didn't, like, it wasn't like I was stuffing myself. And it wasn't like I was eating past the point of being full. And that was when I started to really wonder a question that I don't think enough people wonders. And because, you know, we make a lot of assumptions about the world around us. The assumption being everybody's body processes certain things the same way, food being one of them. You know, they know when they're hungry, they just choose to keep eating this, that, and the third. So that's why, you know, I harp on the taste bud difference in the one aspect, because there is one and there is that, and that does need to be addressed. But in the other aspect, we need to understand when it comes to these people, they actually process hunger and fullness differently. So, it, you know, like, your stomach is a muscle, just like everything else. And the way your body finds out that it's full is your stomach will expand to a certain point, and it'll send a message to your brain saying, okay, that's enough. Well, if your stomach has expanded so many times, the point where it sends that message gets further and further out. Your stomach is expanding more and more and more till it sends that message. So at 120 pounds, some noodles might have filled me up. A pack of ramen noodles, which I ain't happy. I'm just using it as an example because I think everybody in the world has eaten a pack of ramen noodles. So at 120 pounds, a pack of ramen... Yes, yeah, because you lived in the ghetto. I know you have. So
I swear I don't eat pasta. But go ahead.
At 120 pounds, a pack of ramen noodles filled me up. But now at 240 pounds, that same pack of noodles is an appetizer. And I don't understand why. You know, and you, so that's where we get into. Your body is a continuity machine. It's a pattern finding and making machine. It adjusts quickly. You get to a point where your body is a certain way, and your body's natural design is to stay that certain way. Your body's natural design is to maintain these habits. So, you know, we have to begin to talk in terms of habitual eating practices, not just preparation, but entire diet practices, entire food preparation practices, complete with the emotions that go into the food decisions you make. We have to begin to talk about psychology and all these other things when we're talking about diet and weight, because it really is that complicated. It really is. My stomach now, at the weight I'm at now, I tried to eat the other day one of the meals that I would typically eat when I was at 235, and I got halfway through it and was like, Jesus Christ, I used to eat all this? You know, and I think, like, that's something that enough people aren't told about, especially those people that are having weight issues, that are, you know, like, not understanding why they're hungry, because you got a lot of people out nowadays talking about, well, you shouldn't be hungry while you diet. No, if you're used to eating 3,000 calories and now you only eat 1,500, you're going to be hungry.
Yes, you're positive, yeah.
Yeah, that's going to happen, and you're going to stay hungry until your body acclimates to only eating 1,500 calories. But at the same time, that's a problem we need to address in terms of us talking to overweight people and telling them, you know when you're full, why do you keep eating? Well, they keep eating because they're not full. That's the whole point. Unless they're depressed and they're eating a tub of ice cream watching the Man Hating Channel at 2 o'clock in the morning, that's a whole separate discussion, though.
Stupid, yeah. Man. The AMC... Lifetime, there it goes.
But the most important thing that you said is people actually taking the time out to learn themselves and to actually put some thought into some energy,
right.
Real energy into taking care of them, their health and what they put into their body, rather than just, okay, I like it and I'm going to eat it because I like it. That's a poor-ass excuse for a grown-up.
True. I agree with that.
In my opinion, because that, and I say that for me, because that's one of the excuses that I hear a lot. Like, I remember at my job at one time, I looked around, and me and one other person were the only two people at the job who don't have diabetes. But when I bring my vegetables in, well, I don't eat it either. But when I bring my vegetables in, it's jokes. Yeah, but y'all could joke on me about my vegetables, but I don't have to take no insulin shots.
Are those people older than you, though?
They are older than me, but yeah, I know, like, my mom and my dad older than both of them, and they eat different, and the, it respond, their body respond different.
Yeah, that's true. Uh-huh.
Well, it's kind of been, there have been a lot of conversations floated, and I know everybody don't believe it, but, you know, there's a lot of truth to the fact that a change in your diet can have a dramatic effect on a lot of these weight issues, a lot of these, we won't say weight issues, but a lot of these typically overweight issues like diabetes and high blood pressure and stuff like that. Now, the reason I say we won't call them weight issues is because, like, you got countries like India where the people are thin, but diabetes and high blood pressure are running rampant over there. And that goes into a whole another conversation on diet and pregnancy and a whole bunch of other shit. But,
But, it, you know, even to that point, like me, I try to be conscious of that because I'm a slim guy. So I can't be thin with diabetes, high blood pressure, cholesterol, all these issues, and I'm ignoring it because I'm thin. Think, well, look at me. I can I got at least four abs, so I'm healthy. Like, nah, I mean, you have to take care of your diet no matter your size.
And one thing about that, just when it comes to the body shape, you can be healthy, completely healthy, and not have a damn glaring six-pack. Because a lot of people think that. They think, oh, this guy's got, like, mad muscles.
That's a specific look you're going for.
Yeah, so don't. But a lot of people equate that, like, hey, if I'm going to be healthy, you know, summer body goals, all this stupid-ass shit we put on social media, they put it, we correlate being healthy with having this perfect, ideal body type, this, this, that, and the other. I know people who might not have abs, but I guarantee you they will blitz you when it comes to running 3 miles. You'll be like, yo, I'm a smoke this fat little pudgy, somewhat pudgy guy, and these jokers can go out there because they run this, that, and the other, but they don't have that ideal body type, essentially because that's not their goal in life, to have that certain body type. But they're actually healthy people, good cardiovascular health, all that good stuff. So don't associate health with a certain body type in every case. That makes sense?
I agree. I don't think we should associate health with a body type in any case, because I know several people that are over 200 pounds, well over 200 pounds, and they are the fittest people I've ever seen in my life. Like, just abs is nothing more than a lack of fat, really, if it boils down to it. If you skinny as shit and you don't have abs, then you need to do a few sit-ups because your abdominal muscles are actually underdeveloped. But if you're skinny as shit with averagely developed abdominal muscles and you have a low body fat content, you're going to have abs. That's going to happen. So, you know, for me, abs is mostly a measure of body fat content. Somebody with low body fat. Is going to have abs. And to that, you know, we got to get away from a lot of these narratives. Like, you see the guys doing the bodybuilding contest. Those guys at that moment are not healthy. They're dehydrated as shit.
That's a fact.
Yeah. Hey, look, I know that. I know that firsthand, not because I've done it, but young lady I'd be involved with, she is doing that, and they be dehydrated in the mug. They eat the stuff that they is. I would not recommend somebody make that a career of theirs. If you want to do that for a couple years, do it for a couple years. But I would not recommend that for a career, because that is so unhealthy. The way that you have to do those things is and deprive your body of a whole balance of things that you need for your muscles to show and all those things there. But it's, I mean, You have to really, really, really know what you're getting yourself into when you're talking about diet. Like you said, abs, you have to eat your way to good abs. Like, you have to eat your way to good abs. It's not, I don't care how many sit-ups you do, you got to eat your way to good abs. If not, it's not going to happen.
Right. But that goes back again to diet.
The image.
Well, we got that image problem we really got to get over with. And I think people really need to understand that a lot of these people that you're idolizing, a lot of them are not healthy. Those body types you want to have, unless you got a picture of some lady out in the bikini with her family chilling, not really, like, she's probably hydrated, and that's probably just the way she looks. But more like these bodybuilding magazines, them people are not healthy. These fitness competitions, these people are not healthy. These models, they are not healthy. You know what I'm saying? you go down the list, these motherfuckers are not healthy.
Wait, hold on. All right, the reason I'm laughing is a lot of times, and you see it on social media, man, a lot of these, especially, you know, with some of these, even men, black women, and they're like, oh, man, she's squatting to get that booty and this, that, and the other. When actually behind the scenes, these people are having surgery too, because dudes do get, it's like a prosthetic ab thing they get done. They get surgeries and stuff like that. So don't see these celebrity people and be like, oh, these people are actually working out to get to where they are. They're drinking their flat tummy tea. Hell no. Nah. A lot of them are taking that, going to get some surgery, getting a nice toned butt, getting a nice flat stomach, and here you are thinking, you know, you're trying to achieve that when they took a shortcut years ago. So don't look at a lot of these. Some of the healthiest people I know aren't the ideal body type. I'll say that.
Most of the healthy people I know are not the ideal body type. But again, I will say this real quick. I do think, like, if you're serious about your diet, you need to be, in my opinion, you need to be serious about chemistry so that you can understand cooking, and you need to be serious about anatomy. It does no good for you to sit here and say, I shouldn't eat a whole bunch of salt, if you don't know what salt does in your body. You don't know why you shouldn't be eating salt. You really aren't doing yourself any favors. You might be in a situation where you should eat more salt, but you can't know that unless you know what salt does in your body and you understand the sodium potassium pumps and all those other things. So if you're serious, you need to get into science, basically. Chemistry and anatomy especially.
And people need to be more cognizant about the things that they feel like they should take out of their diet. Like, your body needs all the different things that we can receive through our diet. So you want to cut carbs, you want to cut sugars, you want to cut salt, you want to not have this, you want to not have that, you want to not have this. Like, that's because you're going for a specific look. But if you're just trying to be healthy, you have to have a balance of the essential vitamins and nutrients and the basic building blocks of the body to keep you healthy and keep you going. And if you don't have those things, you're going to have issues.
Tell them about the gun line, boy.
Hey, man, across that gun line, you're going to be in the hospital. Just like that. So, I mean, it just, but, you know, the main thing is us not being so stuck in traditional ways of cooking and eating and living and also on the other end, not trying to run with the first modern thing you see, because nothing is going to replace, like, good old exercise and diet and great diet and a balanced diet. Nothing can replace that. You can't wrap it. You can't take no pills. Can't sprinkle some stuff over your food. None of that stuff. You got to actually make it work. You had to put work in to get unhealthy. You got to put work in to get healthy. And if you're not doing that, you're cheating yourself.
Man, flat tummy tea works. I don't care what you say. Flat tummy tea works. I've seen it on Instagram. Black China uses it. All types of Instagram models use it. That shit works. You drink you a whole gallon every day.
Well, hey, man, you should have said Black China first. And I was, you know, you didn't have to say the rest of it.
I don't know who that is. But
you say you don't know who that is?
Yeah, that's funny.
Hey, you don't need to know. Don't worry.
Yeah, you know, that's the good part. You don't know who it is. Unfortunately, I do.
But I will say, I think, especially for people that are going, if you are going for a specific type, body type, I think, you know, like one of the things Joe and I talk about all the time when it comes to bodies and fitness, you need to, like, you meet a lot of dudes and a lot of females, too, that look at sprinters especially. And be like, I want that body. If you want a sprinter body, you need to do a sprinter workout. And you need to be eating a sprinter diet.
Ain't gonna get that.
You ain't going to get no Veronica Campbell Brown body with them legs and that stomach and all that goodiness. You're not going to get a Veronica Campbell Brown body if you eating like a goddamn rabbit and you jogging 20 miles a day. It's not going to happen. Just stop it.
But that's the thing, though. Stop trying to emulate other people's bodies and just create your own shit for you. Like, be you. Shit, if you got a little booty, have the best little booty. If you got a big booty, have the best big booty. Like if you got a little pudge, if you don't like it, let me do you some, like, stop creating your body goals off of other people.
I don't understand the whole thing against pudges, because, you know, like, almost every grown man I've ever talked to, like, they love fupas. So I don't get that.
Could you define fupa for us, sir? No acronyms on this show.
Well, it got a bad word in it, but it stands for the fat upper area.
Gotcha.
So it's that slight pudge that most women that have had a child or two or three especially have on their lower tummy.
That's not bad, though.
But that's
the thing we were trying to tell, like, these women. You have conversations with them, is the girls that you trying to look like don't have no men. They single.
And they got surgery. Like, a lot of people, I'm sorry, dudes and women, plastic surgery is a big thing. And a lot of people might not deny, oh, I got this naturally. A lot of the people you see on these social media sites that's selling you flat tummy tea or X, Y, and Z, a lot of them probably already had, you know, that physical workout. But a lot of these people got surgeries. They're not going to admit to it because it takes away from their brand and selling you a product, because they want you to believe this product's going to get you this body type. But a lot of them went to a plastic surgeon. So keep that in mind.
I got a question, because y'all done said it like three times now. What the hell is a flat tummy tea?
Dog, it's this magical, it's this magical elixir that was made up in a lab, right? If any female drinks it, instantly get a flat tummy. That fupa you was talking about, nah, bro. Flat tummy tea is going to do away with all that. Huh. It's just a tea. All you got to do is drink it, Pat, and it does the rest. You don't have to work out. You just drink it and fall asleep.
I thought it was like a T-shirt or something.
No,
like,
set it and forget it. Remember those commercials? That's what flat tummy tea is. But, nah, it's some bullshit herbal tea that's
some
popular.
Green, some little green, whatever.
Some the good-looking Instagram models. You know, it's like those little bras that don't have straps. It's just popular. People think they work, and they see Tiny or some other famous female wearing it, and they go flocking to it because they think that's how they got their body, when actually those people got surgery. So it's just a bullshit ploy to get people into a pyramid scheme.
Tiny is in T.I. White.
People want to look like her.
Oh, that's cold. Yes, unfortunately, yes, that is true.
I mean, no disrespect.
That ain't cold.
No disrespect. It's just I've never heard. You know what, I'm going to just shut up, because
But it go back to what I said earlier. I don't care who you are, you should not be trying to look like nobody else. This ain't no diss to nobody. But you should not be trying to model yourself after nobody else. Be the best that you can be. You, I don't care what you do, you're not going to look like nobody else.
That's a fact. But everybody has the body goals and hashtag googly eyes, body goals. That's kind of the era we're living in. So people want to look like somebody else. And to me, it's like, honestly, I could probably have abs. I just probably drink way too much Crown Royal. So be it. I'm willing to sacrifice that. But I love who I am. You know what I'm saying? I'm healthy. Like, I went, what's those little tests they do when they check your blood for, you know, the cholesterol and all that kind of stuff? The doctor even told us, she was like, either you're extremely unhealthy or because my heart rate was so low. She was like, do you work out a lot? I was like, yeah. She was like, okay, your heart rate's so low, this, that, and other. All your tests came back great. But, hell, I ain't got a 12-pack. I'm nice with my shirt off. I ain't got to go swimming with my shirt off. But, hell, I'm me. I'm good to go. I don't give a shit what everybody else thinks. Get you a dad bod, as long as you healthy, man. That's what I'm concerned about. As long as y'all healthy, look like fucking Ted Bundy. Who gives a shit, right? Al Bundy. I said Ted Bundy. He's the killer. God damn, my fault.
While we on that, Patrick was talking about your mustache, too. I ain't want to go say it, but Pat was talking about your mustache.
My mustache is glorious, and it's a sign of respect. For one...
Oh, you talking about the Hitler stash?
No, it's not Hitler. Y'all got a
porn stash.
Come out. It could be classified as a porn stash. Let me give you a little mustache history while we're on the topic. A Hitler stash is narrow and it doesn't go to the inner workings of your mouth. I mean, the outside lining of your mouth, all right? What I got is a grown-ass man stash. This shit protects my top lip, right? I don't have to put chapstick on my top lip because the hair is protected. Also, if you got stank breath, listen, like, let's say Joe Bruff thing, he comes to talk to me. My mustache is going to absorb 99.9% of his bad breath. And all I got to do is wipe my mustache clean, and I never smelt it. So it protects my nose from bad breath. Having a thick, healthy mustache is beneficial, guys. Don't let anybody tell you different.
It's not a Steve Harvey, though, is it?
A Steve Harvey shit fake, man. Steve Harvey got that black marker in his mustache. No, I don't believe Steve. Yo, hey, Steve Harvey got a lace front mustache. Hey.
Yeah, he do. Steve Harvey do got a lace front mustache. He do.
That shit drawn on, man. He out here faking, man. That's what I'm talking about. Steve Harvey over here with the goddamn weave mustache. Nah, my shit's all natural. I got a few grays in it. I'm ready. Yo, I put cocoa butter and, you know, coconut oil on it every night. Like, I'm natural. I'm natural, dog.
And guess what? Your diet can determine your mustache.
Hell yeah. I put shea butter on it, everything, dog.
That work, cause my diet been pretty healthy and I still don't have a full mustache or beard.
Well,
tell you, Pat.
Yeah, you might want to start.
I need to have more
to draw
oil
it on.
More oil sex. Yeah, you might want to start motorboating a little more, there, young man. Oh, that's terrible. We said that live on the recording.
Y'all said it. I was very politically correct with mine.
Y'all love sexist people.
Yeah,
I was very politically.
Hey, man, but you know, the moral of the story for our show today is to promote better health overall, but especially paying more attention to our body and our diets and the things that we're putting into our bodies, and not just eating something because the last five or six generations ate it, and not just eating something because, hey, the fit white girl or the fit black girl said it on TV. It's like really analyzing what you put into your body, analyzing your body and your makeup, and knowing your body type and not setting unrealistic goals. Damn it, if you're shaped like Serena Williams, you'll never be shaped like Aaliyah. And vice versa. Like, never mind, I keep my thoughts to myself. But it's a lot of people who are hurting themselves when they think they're helping themselves by the way that they are exercising and the weight that they're gaining or losing, the things that they're putting in their body and the things that they're doing to their body, especially when you're chasing a look. Don't waste no looks. You can be healthy. Be as healthy as your body type will allow you to be, with whatever's in the confines of your body. But I probably never be 200 pounds, and I'm cool with that.
If you're shaped like Serena Williams, why would you want to be shaped like Aaliyah?
You'd be surprised, man. You'd be surprised how many people.
Because if my girl's shaped like Serena Williams and she's talking about becoming an Aaliyah, we having an issue.
Either way, you're gonna get pregnant either way, but still.
and just one final thing. If you're unhealthy, I don't care what your body shape is. Don't use that coping mechanism of, you know, I'm a big girl or I'm a big guy, this, that, and the other. Take the proper steps that you need to take to be healthy. You know, you're still who you are underneath all that, but I'm more concerned. I don't care if you consider yourself fat, if society considers yourself fat. Do you consider yourself healthy? If you can't say a definitive no to that, then you got to start working towards the self steps to make yourself healthy. I try to be sensitive around that because I know people be like, oh, I'm fat and I love myself and don't fat shame this, that. I don't want to shame you, but unhealthy is unhealthy. Let's all work better to be in a healthy community.
Hey, man. Fat, an overabundance of fat is not healthy. It's one thing to hold more weight than another person, but an abundance of fat is not healthy. We would not create an environment where we encourage people to be healthy based off of their feelings or how because I feel like nah. Well, our people need to be healthy, and sometimes you're gonna have to get it in a way that ain't the best for you, or don't feel the best to you. But being a heavier person is okay, but being obese and overweight is not okay, and we will not condone that on this show. So we just let people know, so when you're tuning in, some of it, we just can't give it to you nice like that. we have to be healthy. We have to get our bodies and our peoples and our minds to a state to where we're uplifting each other and not just consoling each other because, oh, man, well, you hurt this person's feelings. Well, guess what? Guess what? I told the truth. And as long as at the end of the day I'm telling the truth, that's all that matters. And we need to tell each other the truth because we need to be at our healthiest if we're going to throw off white supremacy. And that's what it is. So, with that being said, I'm hungry. And you know how I go. Hey, man, you know how I go. We're talking about all this food made me hungry. So I'm about to go make me a pig foot sandwich. About to make me a pig foot sandwich and smother it some Hershey's chocolate with some hot sauce and a whole gallon of Kool-Aid.
And some Rosie O'Donnell fat.
There you go. Hey, man, we'll catch y'all on the next broadcast. Peace out.
Thank you.